Well, 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 we're here. We're back. Another episode of Pop Apologists.
Well, well, all too well, Chandler. We are back. It was a big weekend of Taylor Swift news all over the headlines, all over Instagram. I need to get into it with you. So much to discuss this week.
So much.
Where should we start?
I'm glad that award season is upon us because I think we're going to be getting a lot more Taylor, a lot more content, and I'm here for it all.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so excited for all the Taylor Swift content that we have coming. Before we get into it, though, and before we get into the main topics that we have at hand today, which is a gorgeous deep dive you have prepared. Chandler's leading us through a deep dive on Gypsy Rose, which I'm so excited about because I know nothing. So it's going to be so fun. But we need to talk about close friends.
Oh, yeah. Before we get into anything else, let's talk about close friends.
Anything else, you guys. Okay, so Chandler and I have always had this barrier when it comes to Instagram of posting on stories specific things because, frankly, there's just a huge smattering of people who follow Pop Apologists. There's like our mom's aunt's friend who she probably showed the account and followed us just to be nice. There's ex-coworkers. There's old bosses. It's just kind of like it's a gamut.
And you know what? It's a beautiful collection of people who believe in us and have smashed that follow button. But sometimes it can feel a little bit like too big of an audience to maybe just, you know, say all of our thoughts to.
Oh, completely. Because we're so grateful that anyone follows at all. But it's like when I want to really talk some trash and really say some things that really are just like a whisper to my best friends, to you.
Correct.
It's like, I really don't need my maid's leader or my church leader from when I was 14 to see that. So anyway.
Or maybe you do. Maybe you do. Maybe it'd be good for you.
Perhaps. So I called you the other day and I was like, I really want to create close friends on Instagram. And I want a way to just have this very small community that we can post our truly unfiltered thoughts to where we don't have to worry about that. And so we kind of talked it over and what we decided was we'll have a new tier on Patreon. So anyone can join. You just have to go to patreon.com/popapologists and join our $12.99 tier. The reason why we didn't do all Patreonies is frankly, it's just too many people. We want this to be a small group. We do not want it to be over 1,000 people. We don't want that. We want it to be a small community.
I think also we want it to be an additional opt-in because you're going to be hit completely with a lot of content from us. So, you know, if you really truly want it, please opt in. And there's, you know, there's people who are so great and subscribe to our Patreon who maybe are like good with the extra content. They don't need literally every thought that pops into our head. And it's, you know, it was actually a show of restraint to not make it all the Patreonies.
That is such a good point. We want to make it something where someone has clearly said, yes, I want this, instead of like, because we have friends who are Patreon subscribers who I'm not even sure listen to the show, but they're just like, I got to give these girls $9.99 and, you know, give them some hope that they should continue this little project of theirs.
Yes. Yes. And also, just to clarify, this tier also includes all the regular bonus content. So it's not like an additional amount of money that you have to then opt into. It's just essentially it's an upgraded tier if you want to, you know, upgrade or downgrade, depending on how you look at it, with getting even more content from us. But you will still receive all the bonus Patreon episodes.
You'll still receive all the bonus Patreon content. Yes, exactly. And then it's just an add-on to get on our close friends list and get our unfiltered conversation on Instagram. So it's a fun conversation.
I just have to say, I do not post on the stories very often. It's kind of more your domain. I don't actually enjoy like filming myself. And not to say that you enjoy filming yourself. Actually, I think you do enjoy filming yourself. But I don't, you know, like I mentioned this when I posted about it on the close friends, but you know, there's just like many days where I feel like the lighting is terrible and I'm just not interested in like an up close of my own face, you know, a video of an up close of my face. And so anyway, I feel now like the shackles are off and I can like just post to the close friends, anything I want to talk about and not feel like everyone from my past, present, future, or, you know, are going to have to experience this content. Like sometimes I shudder when I think about potentially people who have followed us out of obligation and when they've had to smash that mute button. And that's what's holding me back. So I just need you to know that I'm so excited for this close friends from my own perspective.
And the thing I like about it is a lot of times I have thoughts and opinions that don't necessarily make me seem necessarily like a good person or sometimes. Like, you know, I might just have like judgmental thoughts about certain things and I just want to share it like I would with a girlfriend. But I don't want to blast it. And so this is like conversation that's happening late at night after a dinner party. You're a little buzzed and you're whispering some secret dark thoughts to your friends.
Also, it could be dark or it could be, you know, just frankly, more useless thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, we try to bring you a certain level of content on the podcast and on the stories. And yeah, this is just the opening the floodgates to anything and everything.
And then also final thing on this, enrollment is open until Friday. So this is end of day Friday. So it's today's Tuesday while we're recording. So you're going to hear this on Wednesday, most likely. So enrollment ends end of day Friday, January 12th, and then you cannot enroll again until February 1st. The reason I'm doing that is it's just way too much management to have people adding all the time. And so if you want to add it, go to patreon.com/popapologist. You can join $12.99 tier and then message us on Patreon. This is super important, your Instagram username. Trying to match people from their Instagram to names on Patreon is too crazy. We literally have someone named Lori and there's someone else named Lori. That's their actual username, but those are not the same people. The Patreon person has a different username. And anyway, it's too much. So
Lauren's putting Lori on blast.
Sorry.
This person didn't want that to be revealed, but it's now been revealed. You can bleep the last name, Chrissy.
So anyway, it's just way too much to try to match people. So to sign up, go to patreon.com/popapologist and send us your username as a message on Patreon. And then we will add you on Close Friends. That's the only way to get added. And sign up ends on January 12th, and then enrollment will not begin again until February 1st. All Close Friends stuff, it's posted and then it goes away too. So it's not something where
you won't be able to access the backlog, everybody. Sorry. And honestly, it's probably for the best.
Chandler, your talent is the TLDR, and I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Let's move forward.
Oh, wow. Let's move forward because this story of Gypsy Rose. Well, did you want to talk about Taylor? Because I think there's a lot to get into with Gypsy. So let's do a real TLDR with Taylor.
My TLDR with Taylor is that I honestly felt like she was a bad sport. And I know this means Taylor's for sure not going to opt into Close Friends. But I just feel like she's traumatized from being like made fun of so much. So I totally get why she had that reaction because this girl has really been through the ringer. But I also felt like Joe Coy's joke was like a nothing burger.
Yeah, it wasn't super funny, but it also wasn't super offensive. Not even offensive at all. I think with Taylor, she wants to make fun of herself on her own terms. She really is never comfortable with somebody else making fun of her unless it's, you know, she's the one writing the jokes, whether it's in the song or it's like that SNL monologue. You know, it's really got to be on her terms. Otherwise, she's not a good sport.
No, that's such a good point, Chandler. And I just feel like if I could give a note to Tree Payne, her publicist, we really should have had a talk before the award ceremony and said, there's probably going to be a joke about you. And the best way to dissolve any tension from it is to just laugh along, to
just laugh it
play
off.
Along and seem gracious. Anyway, right.
Taylor, I wish I could imitate the way her like lips pursed or like the way she closed her mouth in disgust and annoyance.
Honestly, Taylor, I love you. Please still join Close Friends. But you still have to message us your Instagram username, okay? On Patreon, you have to send us a message.
Yeah.
Do not DM us,
Taylor. It's the only way.
It's the only way.
We have many people named Taylor Swift on our Close Friends.
Precisely. Oh my gosh. Okay.
Any thoughts about the Selena Timothy scandal? I, for one, cannot hear the audio to save my life. I know that sometimes my ears can be clogged, and I think that might be the issue here, but I cannot hear any audio of Selena saying the word Timothy. I can see the shocked reactions, but I'm not hearing it.
No, this was fully just fan fiction. This was absolutely just people making stuff up, which I found to be entertaining. But yeah, I did not hear Timothy at all. I did find them to be so darling, though.
Yes, like whatever tea was being spilled, whether it was good, bad, whatever, I want to know about it, but I'm not hearing the Timothy part.
Oh, that was darling too. We love spilling tea amongst friends. This is our entire business. But what I meant more is Kylie and Timothy in love.
Oh my gosh.
Gorgeous, right?
I did a complete 180 after watching that. And I watched it so many times. I almost made Ben watch it. It was so lovely. It was so... I seriously, from the beginning, like when this story broke, I thought this was the fakest, you know, thing ever. Kris mm-hmm. Jenner orchestrated, TMZ, you know, rumor mill. Mm-hmm. It is real, folks. Whatever is happening between the two of them is real.
No, Chandler, I don't know that Kagan looked at me like that during our wedding dinner. I mean, that was just, I was so stirred. I got goosebumps as I watched. They looked so gorgeous together. Right.
And you know that like budding love, I mean, you know, or whatever.
They were phase in the lavender haze.
When you can't stop touching the other person, you know, like when you're at a dinner and you just like, you are so ensconced. That was a perfectly mm-hmm. ensconced moment. And it to me was super genuine. It made me also like Kylie more, to be honest with you.
I agree 100% with you. I mean, Kylie is very alluring. I will say that.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
Okay, let's pursue to someone also alluring, but for a different reason. I think she draws a lot of attention.
Alluring is definitely one way to put it. I don't know where to begin with this entire story. There's so much to get into here. It is dark. It is a roller coaster. I want to issue a trigger warning, but I don't really know where to even begin with the potential triggers. So I'll just say that, you know, there's abuse, there's homicide, there's a lot of dark stuff, you know. Discretion is advised on all fronts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I will now take you through the life of Gypsy Rose, the life up until this point. Are you ready?
I'm so ready, Chandler.
Okay. So from the time she was very young, Gypsy Rose Blanchard seemingly suffered from a variety of ailments, Lauren. Okay. She was very, very sick. She spent her life in a wheelchair and was in and out of hospitals, surgery after surgery, and took dozens of medications. And spoiler alert, all of these illnesses were fabricated by her mother, Dee Dee, who, you know, had Munchausen's by proxy. Or I don't know if you say that Gypsy suffered from Munchausen's by proxy. Maybe that's the correct way to say it. But, you know, that is the TLDR of this story. And the details of it are so staggering. And it spans over the course of her whole adolescence to like early adulthood.
You know, I'm so interested in the idea of Munchausen by proxy. I think Munchausen's is when you're faking an illness. And I think by proxy is
when you're doing that to another person.
As I'm putting the words together. But yeah, it's when someone else is like making you fake an illness.
So Munchausen's,
Yolanda.
I'm forgetting your name. Munchausen's, Yolanda. Munchausen's by proxy is like sharper objects like that. I don't know if you ever watched that show.
I did not watch that show, but
spoiler alert for that. Sorry.
Disclaimer to Yolanda Hadid, we do believe you, and that's just what Lisa Rinna so coldly accused Yolanda Hadid of having, which was absolutely not the case.
Lauren, what you're going to learn here is that, you know who Gypsy Rose could have really used, you know, in her adolescence? Lisa Rinna.
Oh, interesting. Oh my gosh, Chandler. That is staggering to consider. If only Lisa Rinna had lived near Gypsy Rose, she could have called out her mother and saved her mom's life, potentially.
Literally. She could have made Dee Dee own it, and we would be in a much different situation. But let's get into the life of Gypsy Rose.
Okay, perfect. And by the way, I just want to say this. I know the brass tacks of what happened. I don't think that you can be a lot like on social media and not know that like the bare minimum of what happened, but I know no details. Like all I know is that the mom is dead and that the boyfriend was involved and Gypsy. Yes. I don't know who did what.
Is free. Gypsy's free. Gypsy's now.
Is free. And it's strange to me that she seems to be a very celebrated murderer or murderer accomplice. So it's going to be interesting to have you unpack this for us, Chandler.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So July 27th, 1991, Gypsy Rose Blanchard is born in Louisiana to Rod and Dee Dee Blanchard. This birth date is a little bit contested, but this is, I think, the most accurate birth date that we like have landed on as a society, you know, and I think this is what Gypsy would, you know, call her birthday.
Okay.
So Gypsy's parents, Rod and Dee Dee, first met when he was in high school and Dee Dee was a little bit older. So she told Rod, he was 17, that she was 21, but really she was 24. So there was already starting to be some lies about age. Mm-hmm. And they were dating and she felt pregnant. And he then decided, you know, the right thing to do is to marry her. And they were married before Gypsy was born.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yes. But his marriage to her unraveled. He realized, you know, he woke up on his 18th birthday and realized that he was not in love with her. And they actually separated before Gypsy was even born. He said, you know, I knew I'd gotten married for the wrong reason. So Rod and Dee Dee were only together for a short period of time. And Dee Dee then really became Gypsy's, you know, primary caretaker.
Okay.
If we can even use those words about her. So there's a lot here with her early life that I'm going to try to take you through as quickly as possible before we get into, you know, the murder and, you know, the aftermath.
Okay.
But yeah, there's a lot to get into. So just buckle in. So
I'm buckled.
When Gypsy was 3 months old, Dee Dee believed her daughter had sleep apnea and began taking her to the hospital for this. Quick side note, I didn't know that babies could have sleep apnea. I thought that was just for like older men, like our dear father.
Isn't sleep apnea pretty dangerous too? I don't know.
Yeah, it's like you're not getting enough oxygen or something. And I didn't know that that was something that babies could suffer from. But the doctors didn't find anything wrong with Gypsy.
New fear unlocked.
Dee Dee was still convinced that Gypsy was ill.
Okay.
And she told Rod that she believed that Gypsy had a chromosomal defect and that her health issue, all of her health issues really stemmed from that. Dee Dee is not a geneticist or a doctor of any kind, but she had a, you know, a keen understanding, at least, you know, she made people believe of Gypsy's physiology and, you know, the what she was suffering from. So
there's something called a mother's intuition, Chandler. Ever heard
totally.
Of it?
Totally. I mean, it's just, I just think there's something about like a chromosome, like how does she know? But anyway.
Yeah, that's definitely a stretch.
I think one of your chromosomes is off, Lauren. I've been saying that for years. So in a lot of the documentaries, they show this like video footage of Gypsy as a toddler. And honestly, she seems normal. Like everything seems to be like, you know, normal.
Checking out.
Like she doesn't seem to be someone who is suffering from a lot of ailments.
She's hitting the milestones.
Yeah, and there's this moment where Rod and his wife, Gypsy's stepmother, say, oh, this is before everything really started to, you know, happen. Because okay. Gypsy looks like a normal little toddler.
Oh, wait, really quick. This also happened like when she was an infant, right? Like from an infant, she thought that the baby was sick.
Honestly, the minute Gypsy was alive, the Munchausens by proxy began.
Wow, this is so dark. I need to talk to you about a stunning experience I had. I got a massage yesterday and I took an early bird gummy an hour before my massage. 30 minutes into my massage, I'm starting to nod off. I never nap. I never fall asleep during massages. I was so relaxed and I was getting concerned. I'm like, why am I falling asleep? And then I remembered it was the early bird.
Like, oh, yeah.
I can't even describe to you guys how good an early bird gummy plus massage is. It already makes you feel so like warm and melty and gooey. And then to be getting a massage, it's a peak experience.
No, that sounds peak. I need to try that immediately. I cannot say enough good things about early bird. It is something I never want to run out of. Mm-hmm. I love knowing that if I need to get a good night's sleep, I've got it. And if I just want to kind of take the edge off while I watch a show or, you know, just want to scroll on Reels, it's there for me.
You guys, the great thing about Early Bird gummies is that they are a recreational hemp product and contain 2.5 milligrams of natural THC and 12.5 milligrams of CBD in each gummy.
So everyone go to earlybirdcbd.com and use the code popapologist20 for 20% off.
earlybirdcbd.com, popapologist20 for 20% off.
Lauren, I got this text from my friend last night and she said, yo, what's the protein powder you guys peddle on your pod? Is it actually good?
Okay, what did you say?
I then inundated her with a bunch of messages explaining how good it was, really trying to show her that it's not something we simply peddle. It's actually something we truly believe in. So
it's not something we peddle. It's like a passion.
Let's just say that there were two gray text messages followed up by 8 blue text messages.
Read them all verbatim.
I said, it's the only one I drink, .. I've literally been drinking it since college. Clean, simple eats. The vanilla and the chocolate, it's called brownie batter chocolate, are musts. They have a lot of other flavors too if you're more adventurous. They also have travel packs if you want to try something out before buying a full bag. Then I sent her the links, not even affiliate links. I just was like, no, if you're even considering buying a protein powder, I've got it for you. I've got it squared away. I've got it locked in. Do not look anywhere else.
It is so, so good. This is what we're saying within the privacy of our text message threads and publicly on this podcast. Guys, go to cleansimpleeats.com. Use code POPAPOLOGIST for 10% off your order. cleansimpleeats.com, code POPAPOLOGIST.
There's a ton, too, about Dee Dee and her just being a generally like nefarious character. I'm not going to get into that because I just don't think we have, frankly, have enough time. But Dee Dee had, you know, clear as day, but Dee Dee had a lot of issues. So Gypsy Rose was allegedly diagnosed with leukemia when she was 8. This is what Dee Dee was telling everybody. And, you know, Rod and his wife did not question it. And Dee Dee shaved Gypsy's head to make it appear like she had went through chemotherapy and forced her to take medications that made her lose her teeth and induce symptoms of medical issues that, you know, Dee Dee told the doctors that Gypsy Rose suffered from. What's very interesting here is that Gypsy Rose's grandpa said that the only thing that he remembers is that she had a scrape from a motorcycle accident and that this turned into Gypsy Rose needing to wear a leg brace, which turned into her needing to use a wheelchair because she actually had muscular dystrophy.
Stop.
So I don't know how you go from a scrape to, you know, muscular dystrophy to leukemia. And Dee Dee also said that Gypsy Rose had a fear of eating, which eventually led her to have a feeding tube surgically inserted into her stomach.
My gosh.
Which was very painful. She would have
So she just told doctors. And sorry, how old is she at this point?
It's a little bit unclear, but they call it like, because even Dee Dee is lying about her age, but this is all basically from when Gypsy is like 0 to, I would say, 14 or so is when like all of these bigger illnesses are starting to like show up apparently. And you know, this is just now Gypsy's new life as, you know, someone who has a lot of like illnesses.
Okay. And so she's able to convince doctors that Gypsy can't eat.
Well, that she had a fear of eating or that, yeah, like, I don't know exactly how
she was able to do it.
She was able to convince them of that particular part. But what is really dark and fascinating is that because Dee Dee was just a master manipulator and the way that she claimed documents had been lost and, you know, they moved around a lot. So doctors really had no set of records or just had no track record to look back on and be like, oh, this actually doesn't make any sense because this doctor said she didn't have anything wrong. And oftentimes if Dee Dee went to a doctor with Gypsy and they didn't believe her, they said that something, you know, that she actually was fine, Dee Dee would never take Gypsy back to that doctor. She would just shop around for a different doctor who would believe her.
Gotcha. Okay. Wow.
So Rod was in the picture, but not really. He maintained a close relationship with Gypsy when she was younger, especially when they lived in the same area. But as you know, Gypsy got older and they moved around.
Sorry, before I get to Rod, I just need more information on how she got Gypsy to go along with saying that she was afraid of eating. Like, how she got Gypsy to submit to these indignities.
I think it's all that Gypsy knew. And so what I'm also driving at by, you know, explaining why Rod wasn't really in the picture, because, you know, he was a little bit when she was younger, but then once they, you know, started moving around, he was farther away and, you know, they had more distance. It was just Dee Dee and Gypsy against the world. And they had this very close relationship where Dee Dee would harshly react if Gypsy tried to be independent at all. For example, you know, when they would go to the doctors, Dee Dee would say, don't move your legs. And she would put a blanket over her legs so that they couldn't see if they were moving or anything. And then she would have her play with a stuffed doll or, a stuffed animal or a doll to have her like also appear younger. So Gypsy was just not even treated like a person able to advocate for herself or speak for herself at all. And so that's another reason why it was just Dee Dee's word. And the other thing that really gave credibility to Dee Dee's story was that they were getting like Habitat for Humanity built their house after they lost it in Hurricane Katrina. They were sent on Walt Disney trips. Like there was a lot of other there was outreach from the communities that added validity to like her story.
Well, it's interesting. Like I've gotten a prescription refill through like one of those telemedicine things. And if you, it's I sound like I'm like a pill bopper, which I'm not, but like if you have a previous prescription, it's so much easier to get that prescription versus versus never having any documentation of having had it before. And so I bet you it was just like one piece of validation beget the next.
So another big moment is that they lose their house due to Hurricane Katrina.
Okay.
And I think 2005 is when in 2005. And you know, Dee Dee then claims that all of her medical records, all of her birth certificates and everything were lost in Hurricane Katrina. So it's like, you know, doctors can't argue with that. You know, that actually could have all been true. Mm-hmm. But this is really when, you know, allegedly or apparently, you know, Gypsy was born in 1991. But in 2005, Dee Dee says her birth certificate, everything has been lost. You know, Gypsy is 14, but Dee Dee is claiming that, you know, She's still very young. And she says she presented her younger than her age. And she told people that she only had the mental acuity of a 7-year-old.
Sorry, I'm just thinking, I'm thinking like of these broader things, which is just like how much children will believe what their parents tell them and how dangerous it is when certain children, when I'm thinking of like FLDS people, right? I don't know why all roads lead me back to Warren Jeffs, but that's my brain. And I just think about like kids growing up in that environment. And, you know, I listened to an interview with one of his many ex-wives, and she was talking about how like not really understanding anything about the planets and just like anything really when she was 20, right, because she was raised in an environment where there's no education. And I think it's hard for probably adults to conceive of having such a limited knowledge, but really when Gypsy only had her mom, you know, only had her mom and her mom telling her things, it does make sense that she just lived in this completely warped alternate reality.
Right, right. Well, absolutely. She was incredibly sheltered. Dee Dee was her only connection to the outside world. You know, we'll learn later on when she would use the computer, Dee Dee would supervise it, and that you'll watch footage of her. And she really seems very, very young, whether it's, you know, her talking about princesses or fairy tales. It is clear that Dee Dee was keeping her in this infantile state or, you know, really young adolescent state because she didn't want her to have any sort of independence or to open her eyes to the world. Another interesting little story. Dee Dee was in a car accident. I don't have exact dates on this, but Dee Dee was in a car accident and Gypsy had to stay with her grandparents. And that while she was with her grandparents, she would eat, walk, play, jump on the trampoline when her mom was not around, when her mom wasn't, you know, there to see. And when Dee Dee came back and saw Gypsy Rose out of her wheelchair, she got very upset with Gypsy and told her to get back in her wheelchair.
Wow. Okay. So there is some knowledge, obviously, of course.
Yeah. And I think what, you know, what I have sort of come to realize is that maybe Dee Dee wasn't telling Gypsy, hey, you don't know how to walk. And Gypsy was like, no, I know how to walk. But maybe Dee Dee was saying, your bones are really brittle. You know, you can't really be walking because you're going to fall and break something. And then, you know, then you'll be, you know, X really serious thing that could happen if she were to try to walk or, you know, move around.
I mean, even think about how much just your mom tells you about like the body. And I remember so many times being like, oh, I feel like a little bump. And mom's like, oh, well, if you feel it on the same side of your body, if there's symmetry, then it's that it's supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. And like you learn so much just about how to be like a biological human from your mother. I think a lot of, you know, most of us. So it's very interesting.
Right. I think that Dee Dee was all Gypsy hat. Gypsy had did not have a relationship really with Rod. Like there was nobody else in her life advocating for her, paying attention. You know, her grandparents didn't even really say anything after this, which is just like awful. So if we move on to
I think I interrupted you. Yeah. I'm not sure you totally circled back on Rod not being around.
You know, there's not like, I don't have a chronological list of when he stopped, you know, being super involved in her life, but basically they started to move around from place to place.
Okay.
And they moved several times. And I think that like, you know, Dee Dee also sort of sheltered Gypsy from Rod. And there wasn't an open line of communication. Like, for example, Rod tells this story in the documentary where, you know, he called her to say happy birthday on her 18th birthday. And Dee Dee said to him, don't tell her she's 18.
Wow.
And Rod was like, why can't I tell her she's 18? You know, it's her 18th birthday. And she's like, well, you know, like, I don't want it to make her sad that she's 18 and, you know, she can't really, you know, she's not actually an 18-year-old, like kind of manipulated him in that way. So he didn't tell her that she was 18.
Wow.
You know, so really like, yeah, Dee Dee controlled all the communication to Gypsy.
Okay.
Okay. So let's move on to some people who did sort of blow the whistle and did sort of think that something was amiss.
Okay.
So when Gypsy was 14, actually 14, she saw a neurologist in Missouri who came to believe she was the victim of Munchausen syndrome by proxy. However, he never reported her case to authorities. He said he didn't think there was enough evidence to act. Another moment where she really could have used Lisa Rinna.
Yeah.
In 2009, an anonymous report was made to authorities stating that Dee Dee's accounts of Gypsy's ailments had no medical basis. This then resulted in two social workers or caseworkers visiting their home, but Dee Dee really convinced them that nothing was wrong. And, you know, that's really shocking to me. One of the commentators in the documentary says this, and it's come to mind multiple times, like literally every single person in Gypsy's life failed her. Every single person, from her family to, you know, social workers to doctors, like there was nobody who who saw what was going on and, you know, tried to get her out of the situation.
It sounds like there might have been a few people who saw warning signs, but like at every juncture that, you know, Gypsy's mom was able to subvert those efforts.
And it sounds like the efforts were not, you know, made with a ton of like, they weren't super strong efforts. You know, yeah. It was like, hey, I'm raising this flag. Okay, I'll take your word for it. You know, back off.
Right, right.
It's not like there was somebody who was blowing the whistle from the get-go. So as Gypsy is getting older, you know, as that happens in life, Dee Dee then continues to lie about her age, going as far to then alter the dates on her birth certificate, you know, probably a new one she had made to make her seem younger. But Gypsy was growing up and she was becoming harder for Dee Dee to control.
Okay.
So you might be asking yourself, why didn't Gypsy get up and walk around and tell someone what was happening?
Mm-hmm.
Your mother controlled so much. Mm-hmm. Many people just can't understand why you didn't just get up and walk out of that wheelchair. You weren't sick.
It's mental, it's emotional, it's physical. All these reasons combined together is what prevented me from just walking out of that situation.
Give us a sense of the fear that you felt.
I feared more than anything that if I ran away, that things would be worse for me at home.
Like, she has nobody.
Yeah, and it's honestly, it's like... We grew up with infinite safety net in terms of just like our parents. We could always go move home with our parents. And I remember the fear of being like 19 and just being like, oh, I have to like, you know, figure out how to make money and survive in this mm-hmm. world. And I can't imagine if you have like probably no education, no ability to understand like how things work.
Real life. You're probably real not life. Even watching movies that are showing you how real life works.
Like this is your survival depends mm-hmm. on playing along.
Yeah, it's really dark to think about. So we learned that Dee Dee also had Gypsy see hundreds of doctors in order to keep them from seeing the patterns. In one instance, a neurologist doubted her muscular dystrophy and told Dee Dee that she'd been misdiagnosed. But, you know, instead of being happy, you know, you've been misdiagnosed or you're good, Dee Dee storms out and refused to return to that doctor. Gypsy Rose said that Dee Dee wouldn't let her speak during doctor's visits and told her that she ever tried to escape, police wouldn't believe her story.
It's so wild. Okay.
Munchausen by proxy parents will go to the ends of the earth to maintain that they have a sick child, you know, to keep up this story. So in 2008, they had moved to Springfield, Missouri. Gypsy is now actually 17, but, you know, that's obviously not the age that Dee Dee is going by. Habitat for Humanity builds them a home. You know, I remember hearing that they built them this home that was totally, you know, wheelchair friendly and, you know, it had a jacuzzi for Gypsy's muscles and everything. You know, she also
put on so Dr. crazy.
Phil. She went on Dr. Phil. She went on Dr. Phil. There was an outpouring of support, including many charitable contributions, such as free trips to Walt Disney through Make-A-Wish, backstage passes to Miranda Lambert concerts, like, you know, the works.
I just want to say really quick, I feel like there's such an interesting intersection. The Venn diagram between fraudsters and attention seekers is really a lot of times a circle. Like I think about someone like Jen Shah, right? Who was scamming mm-hmm. the elderly and really right. doing something like Gypsy's mom that would make you want very little attention on you, right? Ostensibly. Right. So you could continue your scheme. Mm-hmm. You know, you want as few eyes as on you as possible, but it's just so interesting how so many of these perpetrators also want validation or they just want attention. They want attention. That attention. Well,
I am not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, but, you know, I feel like Munchausen's by proxy, especially with, you know, needing that, the medical aspect of it is all about the attention and, you know, like the outpouring from people, you know, of support and yeah, and just attention.
Okay, really quick. Is that what the whole motivation is? Is that why these parents do this or why these caretakers
do this? I don't
know.
It's probably attention and support and control. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, it's like somebody needing them. I think that's the other really big part of it. It's they need someone to need them so badly, you know, on a live and die level, you know?
Yeah.
And that's totally. And that's why I think Dee Dee wanted to keep Gypsy so young is that she never wanted her to grow up. And even if she was sick to like not need her as much, mm-hmm. you know, that would be my armchair psychology.
You know, I feel like mom has a little bit of a touch of the Munchausen by proxy.
Oh my God.
Just as like she has like a 1% touch of it. Like in terms of whenever we had like a little symptom, it would be like, I think you need to go to the emergency room. I remember one time she sent me to the emergency room when I was 19, when I had swollen bumps on the back of my head. She was like, you just, if it's a brain tumor, you can never be too careful.
You gotta know.
Of course, they were lymph nodes.
Right.
There's a touch of Didi and Deb. That's all I'm going to say.
Maybe a touch. Yeah, you're not totally wrong. She'd probably honestly, understand it herself. But it has made us very cautious people who are not afraid of doctors, which, I'll take as a win.
So true.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Let's get into Gypsy's first escape attempt. So Gypsy is now 20 years old. All right. So this is in 2011. She meets an older man at a sci-fi convention she attended with family friends. And
so she's let out of her mom's sight for this.
It's not totally clear to me how this was a sanctioned, visit or sanctioned event, but somehow she's able to go with trusted family friends to a sci-fi convention. Okay. While she's there, she meets this older man who she tells, her story to, and she says, this is what's happening to me.
Whoa.
And he says, pack your stuff. You can come live with me. And she does. She packs her things. She sneaks out and she hitchhikes a ride, with the intention of joining him in Arkansas. Within hours, Didi has found her, dragged her home, and then smashed her phone and computer. And Gypsy says,
"My gosh!"
That her mom said, if you ever try to do that again, I'm going to smash your fingers with a hammer.
Okay, one thing I want to say, and this is like major trigger warning, this whole episode's a trigger warning, but I just feel like I saw this, someone posted this thing about like going back to school and like, don't say anything like you're complaining about having to go back to school to your classmates, because you don't know how many of your classmates are just so grateful to be back in class because of the abuse they're enduring at home. I mean, obviously she's not necessarily a child at that point, but it's just so terrifying to consider that moment when she broke free ostensibly or thought she had, and then she was back and her perpetrator was just unleashing.
Well, and, unleashing. And then Gypsy said that if she didn't behave right or she, wasn't good to her mom would like favor the cat. Like, it was just, they were living in the storm of Dee Dee's emotions. So we then get to Gypsy meeting Nicholas Godejean. This is in 2012. This is 1 year after that escape attempt. So even though Dee Dee was making Gypsy Rose act much younger, Gypsy was obviously interested in boys and wanted to start having contact with them. She secretly made an account on a Christian dating website. And Gypsy met Nicholas on that website 3 years before Dee Dee's murder. And, Nicholas said, it was almost like love at first sight. I just connected with her instantly.
Wow.
And, a year into their online relationship, Gypsy told Nicholas that she could walk and that she didn't need a wheelchair.
I mean, isn't it also interesting that Gypsy's drive to reproduce, like her biological instinct to like have sex, is what freed her on some level?
Right.
Like
I just
also think about how that's such a strong, obviously, thing. I just think that that's so interesting too. It's like Dee Dee could not control the biological instincts that were going to come up within Gypsy.
Right. And what's really hard is that, she met Nicholas and Nicholas had a lot of issues. He, I don't know how much of the really dark stuff to get into. Not that it's necessarily dark, but like it's the more PG-13 stuff to get into. But, he said that he had multiple personalities and, he kind of introduced her to BDSM. He also suffered from Asperger's and autism.
Wow.
And, he kind of introduced her, I would say, to a darker side of sexuality. They were in this relationship for 3 years. So after communicating online for more than 2 years, they decided to like plan an actual meetup. And obviously it's not like Gypsy could just like go out and, go meet up with him. So they decided that Gypsy would go with her mom to see the live action Cinderella movie. And that Nicholas would then, be there. And then they could have like a meet in person that seemed natural.
Okay.
So, Gypsy dressed up as Cinderella and she saw Nicholas as her Prince Charming. And, you know, she hoped that when Dee Dee saw him that she would approve, but she didn't. You know, Dee Dee was like, who's this guy? Why is he here seeing a kid's movie? He doesn't have a kid with him. You know, it's so weird.
Fair.
Fair point. And even Gypsy in one of her interviews is like, you know, it is kind of weird. But she didn't have any understanding of the real world. She had no grasp on the real world. I'm going to come back to. You know, she literally was like, I'm going to dress like a princess. He's my prince.
Right.
A part of this that is worth noting is that they then literally had sex in the movie theater bathroom.
What?
Yeah.
At the Cinderella?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
The drive to procreate, yeah. Chandler.
I know.
I mean, not to become National Geographic on this, right. But it is just human primates. They will go to a lot of lengths in order to further the species.
Exactly. It's like you can't fight it.
We need David Attenborough's voice narrating Gypsy and her boyfriend in the Cinderella dress.
The drive to procreate
between these two primates.
So this is Gypsy's talking, and she says, you know, she, as in Dee Dee, got jealous because I was spending a little too much attention on him, and she'd ordered me to stay away from him. And needless to say, it was a very long argument that lasted a couple of weeks, you know, yelling, throwing things, calling me names, bitch, slut, whore.
Whoa.
Yeah. So Godijan said that Gypsy no longer wanted to live with her mother and wanted to run away with him so that they could be together. But obviously running away wasn't an option. She'd already tried that. And she, you know, she said she had had enough and that she didn't hate her mother, but that she wanted her dead. And Gypsy later then says, you know, it was not because I hated her. It was because I just wanted to escape her.
Mm.
So they started to make plans for how they would be together and help her escape Dee Dee. And Gypsy Rose alleges that the murder was the last case scenario and that they tried to think of a less extreme measure to get away from Dee Dee. But they didn't come up with something, you know, less extreme. They hatched this plan all over Messenger and texting. All of the plans were over Messenger. They were hatching how this would happen. He would, you know, he would obviously travel down there. He would be the one to murder Dee Dee. And, you know, they would run away together.
So wait, so she said, I don't hate her, but I want her dead.
Yeah.
Okay. I love the distinction there.
Once again, this is a person who does not have a grasp on reality and who is so desperate. I mean, I'm not saying she did the right thing by any means, but like she doesn't have any grasp on the real world or real world consequences. I mean, she's literally putting all of their premeditation murder plans, you know, into text message.
Right. Okay. So Gypsy and Nicholas, after the initial encounter, and Gypsy's and Dee Dee's like abusive and telling her, you know, that she can't see him, they start hatching this plan together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they create the plan on via text that they're going to do this.
Via text. Yeah. They don't live in the same place.
Yeah.
But they, you know, after Dee Dee goes to sleep, Gypsy goes on the computer and she messages him and, you know, that's really where their relationship all existed, was online.
Is Gypsy at this point, did she ever get her computer back, or is she only accessing the computer? Oh, she does get it back.
I think so. I think she has computer access. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes
sense. I mean, at least she's somehow posting on Facebook. They're posting on Facebook about each other.
Her and the boyfriend.
Yes. She's sending him sexy photos. And
is she posting them publicly or just sending them to him?
I couldn't tell, but some of them, yes.
Wow. Okay. Okay. So she's definitely like stretching her wings of freedom a little bit within the house.
Oh, totally. Okay. I think at this point she's fully living a double life.
Mm, okay. Gotcha. Okay. So her mom her mom doesn't see these posts.
Oh, no. I don't think so.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
I don't think so.
Like on her Finsta or whatever. Her Finn Facebook.
I don't know exactly, but I think she's leading a covert relationship with him online.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
But what's weird is that they also like shared a Facebook or something. So they hatched the plan and then the plan is put into action. And so on the night of June 9th, 2015, he takes a bus from Wisconsin to Missouri to meet up with Gypsy. And, you know, what they've decided is that they'll wait till Dee Dee is asleep and then she'll give him the signal that he can come in the back door and then he will commit the murder and then they'll run away together.
Okay, before we get to the murder, is there any conversation where Gypsy lives in an alternate reality, right, that her mom has constructed. And so you can understand why she would be driven to extreme, desperate measures. But Nicholas is, for all intents and purposes, a normal adult. So is there any moment where he's like, I don't want to murder your mom. Sorry you've gone through so much, but I don't know that I want to go to jail for the rest of my life. Like, what's the conversation there?
I don't think Nick had a full set of mental tools to help him understand the situation and what he was getting himself into. This is a story that's going to require earmuffs, but it's very quick. And I think it, you know, explains that Nick was arrested at one point. Nicholas was arrested for fondling himself to pornography in a McDonald's for 9 hours.
Okay, I think that told us everything we needed to know.
Okay. I wasn't going to share that story because it is quite graphic, but you know, I think it answers your question.
That context was absolutely needed to make this entire thing, you know, to make the math. So thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, he loved Gypsy and he was willing to do anything for her. So if we get to the night of the murder, and this is, it's gruesome. She says that on the night of the murder, her and Dee Dee had actually given each other manicures and they'd had a really good night. And Gypsy had put Dee Dee to bed and that she'd promised to be a good girl. She actually says that some of her, like Dee Dee's last words to her were like, please don't hurt me. That night as she fell asleep, she falls asleep. And then Nicholas Godejean enters the residence. Gypsy hid in the bathroom while he then stabbed Dee Dee to death.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's horrific. It gets worse also.
For me, this is the part where it's just like the wheels fully come off the bus. Because this guy, there's something wrong with this guy. Like,
yeah.
To be able to do that. I don't care what anyone's doing to anyone. To be able to take I'm not even going to say it graphically what he did, but.
Yeah. You know, Gypsy talks about in the documentary that he, you know, was into BDSM and he wanted to rape Gypsy after. So then he raped Gypsy after the murder, like in the same house. And then they take off together. So then for several days, they kind of enjoyed life together. They were spotted, you know, on a surveillance camera in Walmart, you know, seeming to be just totally normal, not a worry on their mind. There's footage of like that they took of them just like kind of like being silly, laughing hysterically in a hotel room. And, you know, Gypsy says, I honestly didn't think we were going to get caught. That never crossed my mind.
Wow.
Gypsy has no concept of the real world. Once again.
Right. So they're just, I mean, they've done this thing. Obviously, it's going to be discovered that Dee Dee is dead eventually. Right. And they've left their fingerprints everywhere. Like, there's been no efforts to cover up the murder.
Right. So, and we'll get to the whatever efforts were done that were just not thought through. So,
okay.
5 days later.
Should not be laughing. Excuse me.
Gypsy wrote on Gypsy and Dee Dee's joint Facebook page, that bitch is dead. Which then immediately sparked concern from Dee Dee's friends. There was also like another very graphic message that comes after, but I feel like I've said enough things and my stomach already hurts.
I want to hear it.
Look that up. You do want to hear it?
I think so.
I think you should just look it up. It's just too much. It's just like, it's gratuitous. And it makes my stomach hurt.
We'll save it for the documentary of people, for the sickos like me who want to hear more about this.
Yeah, exactly. I've also heard it and seen it so many times from researching this. I'm good. Okay. I've got the picture. Good. So her friends kind of freak out. They don't, you know, they're confused by this post. They're unable to get into contact with Dee Dee. They alert the authorities. Police find Dee Dee's body in her home. You know, that's five days later. By this point, Gypsy and Nicholas are back in Wisconsin. So the police were able to trace the IP address of the Facebook post to Big Bend, Wisconsin, where Gypsy and Nicholas were staying. They had gone back to live with Nicholas and his family. Mm-hmm. And what they had told Nicholas's family is that, you know, Gypsy was homeless and that her mom had kicked her out. They were living in a shelter and her mom had kicked her out or something. So police raided Nicholas Godejean's family home and arrested him on Gypsy of charges of murder and felony armed criminal action. And it was easy for them to make this arrest because the pair had brought their bloody clothes with them and then they had mailed the murder weapon from Springfield to his house.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
They brought the clothes with them, did not destroy them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I am. Yeah. Wow. There are no words, Chandler.
I know. It's horrifying and so also befuddling. That's baffling. I'm, you know, all of the above. Gypsy says, though, that she was the one who actually wrote the post that bitch is dead. And she says that She wrote that so that someone would find her mother's body. She says, I couldn't stand the thought of her just there because of what happens if it would have taken months to find her. So I wanted her to be found so that she could have a proper burial. You know, once again, she's not understanding the consequences and that people are going to be scratching their heads about what has happened.
Right.
Obviously, this shocks the community who thought that this was just this like sweet mother-daughter, you know, situation where, the daughter was just suffering from all these illnesses. Many of the law enforcement like involved just say it's the craziest thing they've ever, you know, been a part of. And what I think is also interesting to note that so Godejean was arrested and charged with murder. Both originally pleaded not guilty to first degree murder. Many others who knew Gypsy's story when she first appeared in court were really so surprised that she could even walk and not use a wheelchair. I think that really? Was like a huge part of it was that she could walk. Even her father, he said he was under the impression that Dee Dee was truthful about her illnesses. And when he saw her in court, he even said, I was happy she was walking. It was like a huge batch of mixed emotions. Crazy. And then, you know, he said, big red flags, questions. I felt so stupid. If she can walk, what else have I been lied to about?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. It's like also her father definitely. Like, it's like, of course, it's like the dad's not involved. He has no, you know, no participation almost in her. I mean, I know nothing about this guy, but it sounds like he's just another father who, you know, another like Paris Hilton's husband who just like abandoned the child. I guess all the roads also go back to Carter Ream for me, but it's just like, yeah, it's like, imagine if the dad had been involved and actually knew his kid enough to know, like
taking more
the
of an
dad
interest.
Wanting an authentic relationship with his daughter could have also just prevented her on her all birthday. Of this. I just want to say that men are also the problem here.
Right. One of my favorite people on Instagram always uses the expression, men aren't people. Sometimes that feels like it applies. Sometimes it feels like it applies.
Sometimes it absolutely does. Okay, please proceed. Okay,
let's get to a clip where Gypsy Rose says that in a lot of ways, going to prison was the best day of her life so far.
Oh, wow.
Since my incarceration, I am finally free to build relationships and friendships. The best memory that I have in my entire life is the day that I got to prison and I got to go out to the picnic tables. And I'm like, I'm free. I'm free to have friends. I'm free to do what I want. I might be in a controlled environment, but this is nice.
You're making me cry.
It's the truth. It's such a good memory.
I think that just puts into perspective how dire her circumstances were.
Yeah, completely. I mean, because I think that like before this started, I really was just like, what? This girl killed her mom? And like everyone's like, Gypsy taking.
Right.
I mean, I see all these influencers parading her around as like their BFF. And I'm just like, what?
It feels now, like a little warped.
Yeah. And I think that. So did we get to the sentencing yet?
So basically Nicholas is sentenced to life in prison.
Okay.
And yes, you know, he argues in court that he killed Dee Dee to free Gypsy Rose, but he's sent away for life in prison. So then Gypsy pleads guilty to second degree murder and is sentenced to 10 years in prison, but she obviously has been released after 8 on parole.
And is the boyfriend still in prison?
I think so.
Okay, so the new guy she's life with in is prison. Not that guy.
No. So we'll get to that.
Okay. And I just want to say this really quick. I'm grateful that our justice system has this ability to make these distinctions, right?
Yeah. No, I think this was a fair sentencing. I think that, it is heartening to see that the justice system didn't think that the rest of her life should be defined by what her dire circumstances drove her to. And I think even if you look at what it drove her to, she actually, you know, she did plan her mother's murder, and I feel weird even like making this distinction, but Nicholas was the one who carried it out.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. You know? And again, if you're capable of committing that act, you should go to jail for life.
Right. So Gypsy Rose was actually engaged in 2019 to a mystery man, but then they split up. She got she got some attention in prison, and she meets the love of her life, Ryan Scott Anderson,
in prison.
He's not a prisoner. So this is an interesting story. So they first connected in 2020 during, you know, when it was lockdown COVID and Tiger King was popular, and Ryan's coworker told him that she was going to write a letter to Joe Exotic. He told his coworker that if she wrote him, he would write Gypsy.
Wow. Okay.
He said, I tell you what, if you write him, I'll write Gypsy Rose Blanchard. I had watched her documentary, Mommy, Dead and Dearest, like 3 years before that. And then the act came out and I never watched the act. But I remember my friends talking about the act. And I was like, I'll watch the documentary again. So it was kind of fresh in my mind. After he didn't really expect anything back, but after he sent it, you know, she responded and they began a back and forth exchange.
Wow.
I just think it's worth noting, there's a whole subgenre of people who fall in love with people who are incarcerated.
I actually
get served a lot of videos on my reels on like TikTok and stuff about like people who are
They're like, I'm in love with a prisoner.
Oh yeah. It's actually, I saw this one a couple days ago. It was,
it's crazy. Tough out there. Just it's be grateful there's a ring on your finger, Chandler. It's tough out there.
And Lauren, I think something you should consider is that if things go south, what prisoner should you write? I think you have great chances with a prisoner.
I think I have great chances with a prisoner. And if I ever go to prison, this is at least a silver lining for me that hopefully... Is it only a male to female thing though? Or like a female to male thing?
Oh, no. The person I stumbled across is like someone... It's a girl who's on the outside, who's writing to a guy on the inside.
I feel like I would assume that. But do men ever go after female prisoners? Or is this just a privilege exclusive to male prisoners?
This might just be a Ryan Anderson thing, but I'm not sure. This is a
patriarchy. Another benefit of the patriarchy. Okay, please continue.
So this brings us
up
to men,
not to us, obviously.
Yeah. So they're married in prison. So now they are married, and this brings us to present day, December 28th, when she is released from prison, and she, you know, steps on the scene of, you know, the world at large, and we are now receiving this huge outpouring of Gypsy Rose content. You know, we have Get Ready with Gypsy Rose. We have Not Skinny But Not Fat interviewing her. Like, it's just, it's craziness.
Okay, well, I am so glad we did this because I really felt like, and I was shocked when I did that poll on Instagram because over half of the people said, I have no idea what's going on as well. So I feel like now I'm in the know. I'm so excited to watch the act and Mommy, Dead and Dearest and honestly enjoy all this content. So thank you, Chandler. This was phenomenal.
There's one more little anecdote I want to leave you with, okay?
Okay, great.
Gypsy is receiving hate. She's stepping on the scene of social media. Of course, there are going to be people who, you know, do not believe in her and who honestly want to throw stones at her relationship. So let me just read you know, what she said, what she clapped back to the haters after they, I think they were making fun of her husband.
Okay.
So let me just find this exact quote because I don't want to mess it up because it's quite the quote. She said, Ryan, don't listen to the haters. I love you and you love me. We do not owe anyone anything. Our family is who matters. I love you. Besides, they are jealous because you are rocking my world every night. ... Yeah, I said it. The D is fire.
Stop.
These are my final thoughts after that exchange. Gypsy is like a newborn baby teenager who is just barely experiencing the actual real world. Like,
yeah,
she was like, she born prison on was her good first day of, literally she was born on her first day of prison, and now she's like growing up in the real world. You know, now she's like in her 30s. She has no concept of normal or what is adequate behavior or, you know, anything. And so I do worry about her a little bit being in the public eye, but I wish her the best. And I think what's been sweet to see is that when she posts something, people are so sweet to her in the comments. Like, people are like, girl, like, I love those nails. You look so good. Like, there's so much adoration of just, and honestly, like, love for her that it does warm my heart a bit. So I wish Gypsy Rose all the best.
I know this is not an adequate analogy, but it's kind of like Christine Brown on Sister Wives. Like, I feel like she had a really hard first chapter of her life. And now this next chapter, people are just so obsessed with her and love her. And anyway, you love to see that. You love to see the pendulum swing and people who've been through a hard time really receive so much love. So, Chandler, truly thank you. This was phenomenal. One quick thing, you guys, if you want to listen to another bomb episode of this podcast, or do people still say bomb in 2024, Chan?
Fire. That D is fire.
If you want a P that's fire, a podcast that's fire, our new bonus episode on Ballerina Farm giving birth is very good. I'm just going to say
it's very good.
It is, people are like on fire in the comments talking about it. So it's on Patreon. And then also, reminder, if you want to subscribe to Close Friends on Instagram, you can do that on Patreon. And Your window to do that closes Friday, end of day. So send us a message on Patreon with your Instagram handle and we will add
with your handle. Exactly. Chandler, this was so good. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you everyone for listening.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening, you guys. Love you. And we'll be back on Patreon on Friday. Love you guys.
Bye. Love you.
That's all for now, folks. Don't forget, give us a 5-star review, hit us up on Instagram at PopApologists, and we will see you next week, live every Wednesday.